Hiya, folks. It's time to put your mouse ears on for the Mouse Ears Podcast with Brooks, Kara, Kelton, and Steph, where we discuss all things travel, but mostly Disney. Brought to you by Fairytale Journeys Travel. Podcast. We're super excited about today's episode because it is once again Girls Night on the Mouse Ears Podcast. And today we're going to be talking about the Disney Cruise Line. So with me today, I have Kara. Say hi, Kara.
Hi, Kara. Hello there.
And we have a very special guest today, FTJ agent Laura Greco. Laura, you want to say hi to our audience?
Hi. Hi, audience.
So, Laura, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about yourself and how long you've been at FTJ first before we get down to all the exciting details of DCL?
Sure. So I'm Laura. I'm from New York and recently moved to Florida. Only a 20-minute drive to Port Canaveral to sail on Disney Cruise Line because it's my heart. So I've been with FTJ for 13 years now.
Wow.
13 years. And I love my job. It's magical.
And it loves you back.
Quite literally. You're such an invaluable resource to FTJ. I know in my 1.5 years of being at FTJ, I've learned a lot from you already. So I'm excited to have this one-on-one with you and hear some more. Of course. Of course. So DCL, Disney Cruise Line. I know that you are on any and all trips out of Port Canaveral as much as possible. Why don't you tell everyone what it is about DCL that you just gravitate towards? Why do you keep going back?
I keep going back. I mean, not only is it Disney, it's Disney's signature product. So, you know, you're treated like royalty. You're treated like family, and no other cruise line does it that way. It's a family. I walk, and it's a welcome home, just kind of like the DVC gets the welcome home. You get welcomed home to the ship, and I formed relationships with a lot of the crew members. Most of my clients have too. And to me, there is no other cruise line like it.
Nice.
It's home.
Yeah. And, you know, people can say, oh, I love Disney cruises, but I don't know how many people literally left their home and built a house 20 minutes from Port Canaveral for the purpose of going on Disney cruises. For those of you listening, this is the level of knowledge and love that we're dealing with here for Disney Cruise Line. So drive it home. I love it. Are you kidding? I love it. Please, that's the dream.
I did.
You can't deny it because that's what you did.
Not gonna deny it.
I love it. But yeah, so I've been with FTJ for 8 years. It's actually 8 years this month, and yeah, same. You know, Laura is just such an incredible resource for everything, but Disney Cruise Line, like, forget it. I've told people before that in a lot of cases, you know more than some of the cast members do.
I believe it.
You've been doing it for so long. I would trust your word in a lot of cases over, you know, maybe somebody who hasn't been working for DCL as long. Because, yeah, you've seen it all. You've done it all. So,
and you go very
lucky. We're very lucky. So that's why we're so glad to have you here.
Glad to be here.
More to that point, too, you know. We talk about how we work for FTJ Travel Agency, and, you know, we're about 200 plus agents right now, and it's just a wealth of knowledge amongst all the different agents. So, you know, if anyone has a client and they might just not be sure about a question, you know, we have a great support system within the agency to make it where we do feel confident with the services and the information that we are sharing to our clients and guiding them in the right direction for their vacation. Mm-hmm. So Laura is definitely the go-to person for DCL. Now, you talked a little bit about how much you love DCL. What would you say really makes it stand out more amongst other cruise lines? I mean, I know I've heard your spiel, but I feel like it's such a great, you know, list for people to know about too.
Well, there's so much to it. You know, it has the, it's clean, mm-hmm. it's pristine. Even its oldest ships, the Magic and the Wonder, are kept to the level of the newest ship, the Wish mm-hmm. and soon Treasure. They take stock in it and they pay attention to just the littlest details. So whether you're an adult only girls trip or a family going with littles, your service is impeccable. Your food is impeccable. You're not nickeled and dimed. It's not a big upsell. And I, you know, I have clients that do all cruise lines, but they come back to Disney because they don't feel like you're getting that constant. You need this, you need to add this. It's all inclusive. But to me, it's the service and the people.
And one of the things
that's what it seems like, because you know, there's a bunch of cruise lines out there and they're nice and they're good, but I feel like that's what I tend to hear the most often as far as differentiating is the service. It is the service. Are amazed, especially if they've done other cruise lines first and then come and do Disney. It's second to none. I mean, Disney sets the standard. That's what I always say.
They do, from the parks to the cruise ship, but the cruise ship is a signature product. So you get that extra level of luxury is what it is.
Yeah. And more to that point too, I think one of the things that has stood out to me as well is the space for rooms at DCL, on any DCL ship. You know, even if the cruises get bigger, they don't compromise the space of the rooms. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that and the layout of rooms?
So, you know, each category has something for everybody. So there's no bad room on the ship. I get that all the time. There's really no bad room. There's no bad location. But they're built for families, so there's more space. You're going to have the most space. You're going to have split bathrooms, so you get two bathrooms in each room, which for a family getting ready for dinner, I mean, that's wonderful to have one bathroom with a shower and a toilet and another bathroom with a sink and a shower. Like, you could literally get ready at the same time and
amazing.
Have the space to walk around each other is fantastic. But as the ships get bigger, the Wish is bigger, wider than the Dream Fantasy, but it holds two more people than the Dream Fantasy does. So they made the ship wider, they made it more spacious, and you feel that when you stand on the decks of the Wish, but you're no more crowded than you were. You actually have more space. It's the same amount of people. So Disney, while they build a bigger ship, they're not trying to make it a city at sea. And something else a lot of people, especially in the post-COVID world, I hate to use that word, but in that post-COVID world, people like their space.
Of course.
And they don't want floating cities. So I think they feel more comfortable on a ship that has more space.
Yeah.
And so we're starting to mention the names of ships. For those that don't know, DCL currently has four ships. We've got the five. Sorry, thank you. Do you want to tell us about each of the ships a little bit, Laura?
Sure. So you have Magic Wonder. They were the first ships. They're called the classic ships. And we're celebrating the 25th anniversary. Actually, it was just the Magic's birthday last week. 25 years. So the Wonder came out second. So they're sister ships. And then the next to come out were Dream and Fantasy. And I was actually on both those inaugural sailings.
Nice.
And they were bigger, but the layout was the same. So if you could walk the Wish, the Magic and the Wonder, you could find your way around the Dream Fantasy, although they were bigger. And now came the Wish. And she's bigger, but it's a whole new layout. It was like a learning curve for me on that maiden voyage. I didn't know where anything was. Now I could walk her blindfolded. I happen to love her. She's different. She's new. She's spectacular. And the treasure's actually being built right now. I've seen pictures and it looks like they've done some updates. You know, they do listen to those comment cards. So you should always fill out your comment cards. Yeah. So here comes ship 5 and ship 6 will be after that.
Nice.
That's so exciting.
We'll see.
And then furthermore, on top of getting a new ship in the near future, we're also getting a new island. Right.
A new stop. Yeah.
So before I get too ahead of myself, let's talk a little bit about Castaway Cay and then we'll bring the other one in.
Castaway Cay.
Yeah.
Castaway Cay is their private island. It is paradise. The ship docks right there. No tendering, no nothing. You get off your ship, your crew gets off before you. So it's all your familiar faces. They get off before you. They set the island up. They have a big barbecue for you. All your soda stations are there. Ice cream stations are there. You have this delicious barbecue. Paradise on that island. End of the night, you come back on. Your crew's there. Even your cell phone Wi-Fi works from the ship on the island. It's an extension of the cruise line. Your kids' club comes out there. But when you build these ships and you have more ships, they need more island because the other thing Disney does is one ship only goes into that private island. Mm. Instead of two giant ships, you get one. So there's plenty of seating, no fighting for chairs or umbrellas. Everybody has a seat because it's just your ship. What happens when the fleet grows? They need a new island. So here comes a new island. And this girl might be going on that inaugural sailing.
I really hope so. Nothing less. Oh, don't they call you first at this point? Isn't it? Okay. What's our checklist? We got to roll out the new ship, the new island. Call Laura. I'm pretty sure that's what it is now.
No, I don't get the call, but I do get the first booking window. So I am on that ship. It's on the Fantasy. And it's going to be beautiful. 7 nights. And I get to go to both islands.
That's amazing.
The new one is Lighthouse Point, correct?
Point. Yeah. Yes. And we've only seen drawings of it so far. Mm-hmm. You know, they're still, from my understanding, it's looking good. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're building it. And the guy who designed Animal Kingdom and retired.
Joe Rohde.
Ooh, guy, love him.
My hero.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously. He actually designed it. He designed it. So.
That is a selling point. Big time.
I know.
I had no idea. He's amazing.
I know. I'm sad when he retired.
Yeah. Ooh, well, I'm glad they've still got him. They've still got him working. That's great.
They do. He did lay the design. I don't know what he's doing now, but he definitely laid those plans. And
oh, that's fabulous.
I can't wait to see it, but I'll do
my dream
report.
Is to meet him one day.
Yeah.
Just pick his brain and
really.
Oh,
yeah. He is incredible. That master.
Yeah. He was actually on a National Geographic Adventures by Disney, I believe, this past summer or something.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's having one come
that.
To. I saw that. I was like, oh.
He did. I did
wish
see
list.
That.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
No. Jinx.
That was. I have to settle for following him on Instagram. Super interesting. Right? Super interesting. So
I
do we
agree.
Know? Well, yes, obviously we do. When those sailings start? Is that next fall? Is it fall 2024 that they start going to Lighthouse Point?
June.
Oh, okay. June 8th. Oh, good. Summer, even sooner. Super.
June 8th, 2024.
And those bookings already open. So,
aha. You can already get those booked. Fabulous.
You can. I don't know that you can get on my sailing. It was pretty booked, but.
We'll have you on. We'll have you back on after you sail so you can tell us all the details.
Oh, 100%. Sure. Yes.
Absolutely.
So do you I don't want to ask if you have a favorite ship because I'm sure there's wonderful things about all the ships. But is there a ship that maybe you like just the teeny, teeny bit most, like out of everything?
That's
I'm sure
so
it's a tough
hard,
call.
Kara.
Or this. Tell us your favorite thing about each ship.
I could do that.
Ooh, okay.
I like
See,
that. I like
do
that.
I thought that might be easier.
The magic.
Great question.
The magic hands down is Rapunzel's dinner the restaurant there.
Okay.
So much fun. So interactive. Mm. The cast does a fabulous job interacting with you the whole dinner. It's a whole dinner show.
Yeah.
And from the time you walk in the door, it's just so much fun. So that's my favorite thing on the Magic.
Aww.
Plus she's the first. So
now, can I ask a question? Is that something you have to book a reservation for, or is that just one of your rotations that you automatically go to?
One of the rotations.
Oh, that's
Let's
fabulous.
Talk about rotations, because people might not know that you don't have a main dining hall. So
okay,
Laura, take
so
it away.
Each of the ships, no matter what ship you're on, there's three main dining rooms. So they'll have different names depending on what ship you're on. And you will rotate through each restaurant with your server team. So if you're on a three-night cruise, you're going to eat at each restaurant once. And your crew is going to rotate with you. If you're on a four-night, you're still going to rotate through, but you're going to have a double night. And that's usually the pirate night. So you have a pirate menu for that. The three-night, you will have a pirate menu. No, you won't have a pirate menu. You'll have a pirate night, but you'll still, you have to eat the main menus because they're delicious. You don't like the pirate. go to Palo. So on and so forth. So you're going to double up on these restaurants, but the menus will never be the same, which is the Disney difference there, because in the main dining rooms of some of the other cruise lines, the main dining rooms have the same menu every night. And it's the buy-up restaurants that people go to get that change. So that's the Disney difference. If you're on a seven night, you still have three main dining rooms. You're going to rotate through them, but you're going to have a different menu each night.
Mm.
If there's a show, it's two different shows, and then pirate menu one night,
which is cool too. Nice. To point out that each of those dining rotations have a different theme. So you were talking about Rapunzel, that's one, and some of them as well have shows, which I'm sure we'll be able to touch upon that too, because I feel like that also makes such a huge selling point for a lot of families too, because you're constantly entertained from start to finish. You know, with Disney.
It is. You know, and the fact that your crew, your wait staff and your head waiter, they go with you. So by night two, they know what you want to drink and they know your favorite food. And if your kids say, I only eat mac and cheese, they're going to have the mac and cheese waiting for them every night.
Amazing.
You got to love those Disney cast members, man. They are just go above and beyond. They really
and since
do.
I have my favorite crew members, they still, you know, I sit down my first night and they have my cranberry juice there.
Nice.
They just know. Oh, Laura's nice. Here, cranberry juice.
Do you have
she had her martinis?
Do you or do you have anybody like who you normally cruise with who have any kind of dietary restrictions or concerns or anything like that?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they do very well. So there are some people I travel with who have shellfish allergies. Mm-hmm. So and no matter what the food allergy is, whether it's gluten, because I have some friends with that, the chef will come out the first night and they're pink ticketed. So they come out with the pink ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And they always get the menu the night before. So after they eat dinner, the menu for the next night comes out and either the waiter or the chef will come out and say, you could eat these things, but if you don't see something you like on this menu, we'll get you another menu.
Wow.
So they're very, even at the buffet,
they'll
come and they'll walk you through the buffet.
Wow.
And if there's nothing you like, they'll go get you something.
You can't get more accommodating than that, truly.
Right, seriously.
And they're very careful. Even on Castaway Key for that barbecue.
Okay. Oh, you know, it's funny because when you mentioned that, I actually thought about that and wondered. So good. That's good to know.
And they actually ask you where you think you'll be on the island. So they'll make sure which cookies will have the food for you.
That's incredible.
So they make sure you eat and you eat well.
That's amazing. Wow. Ah, the Disney difference,
okay, so
right?
So you were doing your favorites about each ship that was the dream you started with Rapunzel.
Magic.
Magic. Okay.
It's okay. So Wonder, the sister ship, she usually goes to Alaska. So they closed, my favorite part about that ship is they kind of winterized it a little. So they closed in the signals bar and the Cove Cafe two levels so that when they're in Alaska and it's chilly, you could sit inside. So that's like a really beautiful area. And I love that area on the one.
Wow.
The Dream, oh, my favorite part of the Dream. I just love her. I love her colors. I love her decor. I love her chandelier. If you have not seen the chandelier on the, Google it. Disney Dream chandelier. Amazing. She's beautiful. There's nothing to not like on the Dream. Mm. The Fantasy, well, was the newest ship until last summer. Until the Wish. And I think I just loved all of her technology. Mm. All the upgrades that they had done, the satellite falls, which they eventually brought to the Dream, which was at the adult area, an additional pool area for the adults. So they took the satellite on the front of the ship and they actually made it a fall and a little swimming pool area.
Oh, did not expect that. Sorry, guys.
That's
we're not on a cruise right now.
So that's my favorite part of the Fantasy. And the Wish, I think right now she's my favorite. Mm. I think it's just that she's so
You're
different.
Still in the honeymoon phase with the Wish.
I am in the honeymoon phase of the Wish. The spa, the rainforest.
Mm. Mm.
She is just gorgeous.
Yeah.
The Bayou Bar. There's just so many beautiful things about her.
Yeah.
But it's the crew. Mm. I would sail any ship. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's just, like
right.
I said, I'm going
right.
home.
It, you're never going to be like if you put all them in a hat and you drew out one, you wouldn't be like, oh, shoot, I wished it was this one, you know.
Exactly.
You're going to be happy
exactly.
no matter what. No, that's awesome.
Hands down.
Yeah.
There's no, each ship is pristine.
Nice. So one thing I think people wonder about a lot is kind of the whole boarding process. Could you just walk us through really quickly, like mm-hmm. what that looks like, what you can expect?
Sure. So they went back to the pre-COVID check-in dates and
oh, right.
the check-in
okay.
is the most important part because yeah. at check-in, you are going to put in all the documents because they still, it's easier for them at port. That you scan all of your passports.
Right. And so for people listening, when you say check-in, this is something that's done ahead of time. So during COVID, everybody did it 30 days prior, 30 days prior
correct.
To your sale date. So like Laura just said, they've gone back to pre-COVID. And what that means is now they're back to the levels. So Disney Cruise Line has different levels. Like if you've never cruised before, and then they've got people who have cruised before a time or two, they're silver, and then there's gold, platinum. Laura, of course, is pearl, which is the highest level. So based on that, you can check in 33 days ahead or 30, you know, whatever the numbers are.
I have them if you want.
Oh, yeah.
Them.
What are they?
So pearl can check in 40 days in advance before
okay.
sailing. Platinum is 38. Gold is 35, silver is 33, and new sailors are 30.
Okay. So they're still there. All right. So it's your check-in day. So what do you do?
So, and that starts at midnight.
Mm.
And that's always the question. When does that open? And that's
yeah.
midnight. So you go through module. It's very easy, but you do need all your documentation. So you'll need pictures of your passports. If you're not using a passport, you need pictures of your birth certificate and driver's license. Mm. You need a security picture, shoulders up with nothing in the background, no sunglasses on your face or hat on your head, sort of like your passport picture.
Mm-hmm.
You'll need flight information. You'll need to tell them how you're getting to port. This is where you put in DCL transfers. If that's how you're going, it'll ask you when you're flying in, all that information. When you get to the end of that, that's where you pick your port arrival time. Mm-hmm. That's the time you could pull up to port with your luggage.
Mm-hmm.
You'll also find out what boarding group you're in. That's the group you board with.
Mm, okay.
So to answer all those questions that I always see on these groups or get mm-hmm. asked by clients, what time can I arrive at port? Well, that's your port arrival time. And the question, what time do I board? There's no real time. Mm-hmm. It's your group. They call groups. Boarding starts after the ship and all the crew members clear customs. So the ship itself has to clear customs and each crew member has to clear customs. Mm. Boarding doesn't start typically until 11:30, 12 o'clock, closer to 12 o'clock. So if you have a port arrival time at 11 a.m. and you're boarding group two, you're probably not going to board until 12. So you're standing at the port for an hour. Mm. So don't stress over your port arrival time.
Yeah.
You know,
and is 11 the earliest port arrival time?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yes. It used to be 10, but now they pushed it to 11 because they didn't want people standing in the port for that.
Right.
There's no point in having you arrive at 10 o'clock
right.
if concierge isn't boarding it until 11:30. Mm-hmm. They're first. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's the boarding process. It's literally you pull up to port. You leave your luggage with the porter, you go in, they check all of your, make sure that the passport you scanned is the passport you're boarding with. You go through security, you go up the escalator and you wait for your boarding group to be called and you're all excited and you can see the ship and you're all excited. And then you get to go through the Mickey ears. And that's if it's Port Canaveral. If it's any of the other ports, there's no Mickey ears, but the same process.
Okay. Gotcha. Excellent. That I think that's very helpful because I, you know, people have never done it before. It's just, you know, how does this all
and
work?
And if they've cruised other cruise lines and they've been like, oh, it was a mess. And I stood, it's not. Disney's people movers. Mm.
And now they have the different tiers, right? On who can board or who can check in online first and so on and so forth.
So the website's not crashing as hard as it was, you know, when the whole ship could do it 30 days at midnight.
Yeah.
And everybody was fighting for a port arrival time.
Yeah.
Which never made sense because everybody's getting
definitely not. So now something people always want to know, this is a question we get all the time about every trip, how to get the lowest price. When is the best time to book and how to get the lowest price? And the answer to that question is actually the same answer.
Mm-hmm.
Which is?
Best price is the day the itineraries release. So when you see somebody like an FTJ agent post, new itineraries are releasing and your booking day is blah, 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 blah. That's the best day to book your Disney cruise. Because after that first week, it's dynamic pricing and Disney Cruise Line goes up, 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 up.
Yep.
And they don't go down.
Yeah. I don't know why people have it in their head. Like last minute deals are just something that people have. Like, I don't know. They just think it's something. But with Disney Cruise Line, no, you do not want a last minute deal. That's not really a thing. You want.
It's not a thing. The ships fill.
Yeah. So when they come out, that is going to be your lowest price. Every day that goes by, the price is going to go up and up and up and up.
And it really does. Like if I put a hold on for a client for 3 days and they don't, you know, and then they decide they want it, 4 days later, the price could be up $50 person. That's the best day to do it. Now, if you're sailing, the best way to get 10% off your next cruise is to make sure you grab a placeholder because you don't have anything to lose. It's $250. You do it right from your app. Mm. It's good for 2 years. If you don't use it, Disney's going to give you back your money. It auto cancels. So
sounds as placeholders as you possibly get.
Yeah, I think they might be one of the best kept secrets in all of the Disney universe because I knew about them, obviously, but you know, I didn't know until I started doing DCL more. How great they are. They're amazing because I figure, okay, you buy it, then, you know, you've got to use it. It expires after this time. It's whatever. No, like there's no risk, zero risk.
There's zero risk
whatsoever. I mean, which is amazing. Like,
just do it. And yeah. then you get 10% off on opening day.
Yeah. The only catch to the placeholders is you have to be on, you know, you can't get it for your first cruise. That's it. But right. after you do your first cruise, or once you're on your first cruise, you can placeholder your little heart away for every cruise you ever take.
And
they're amazing.
So many.
I seriously can't say enough about them.
I can't tell you how many I have. I don't know.
Jeez, oh, you're probably, oh God.
Guys, I get one every time I go.
I'm like, that's amazing.
We'll get a placeholder.
Oh God, there's a game we could play. Let's guess how many placeholders Laura has and see who can get the
problem
closer.
Is I couldn't give you an answer. I would have to call and ask. I honestly don't know.
Yes, let's hope they're keeping track of it.
I mean, and the good news is that I can call and say, hey, here's my Castaway number. How many placeholders do I have? And I want to use the one that expires first.
Oh
and
gosh.
That 250 counts toward your deposit. It's not like it's a lost 250. So if my deposit totals 500, I paid 250 already.
Yeah.
It's really a good way to save
10%. They're just incredible.
Yeah.
And Laura, of course, was the one who helped me help clients who went on a cruise and wanted to book another cruise, but that itinerary of the one they wanted wasn't coming out until like the next month. So they were like, can we do a placeholder? And it was like a whole thing. And of course, Laura being Laura was like, yep, this is how you do it. Boop, doop, doo. And she like explained the whole thing to me. And I'm like, great. So now I can go to my client and say, oh yeah, we can do that. And then we did it and it was great. So
wasn't it magical? And it, boopy doopy doo.
Yeah, yes. It's amazing.
Pro tip from the pro.
Pro tip.
Literally. Amazing.
And of course, I went to her first. I didn't call Disney. I'm like, I'm not going to bother calling Disney. I know Laura's got a better answer.
Honestly, I probably would too. So I'm right there with you.
I would
You're
be happy
a wealth
to
of
do
knowledge.
That. Just message me. I see it really fast. So, yeah.
So,
yes, that is the way to do it.
Yeah.
Now, I think this might be a good time to talk about some of the different itineraries or some of the special days at sea that Disney does, because I feel like that also influences greatly to which sailings are more prone to sell out quicker or more people are gravitating more towards. I think that, again, the Disney magic is that they're always bringing, you know, the greatest elements about Disney, the things that people are most attracted to and are endearing and nostalgic. And then they bring you that to the ships. It's not just, you know, you're on a cruise and you're eating your heart's content out and, you know, the beaches, you know, there is a lot of Disney in there. And I feel like that's what, you know, one of the great things about those special days at sea. Want to talk a little bit about that, guys?
Sure. So you have, we'll talk about the ones that mimic the parks first. Those are the obvious ones. So at the same time that the parks are running their Halloween parties and their Christmas parties, DCL is doing the same thing on all their ships across the whole fleet. They're doing the Halloween on the high sea sailings. And they run from mid-August to the end of October. And the same time that the park does that switch over to the Christmas parties, they do the Christmas time, the Merry Sailings. And the ship doesn't do the switch over quite as quickly because they have to come into port. And they can't do it. They'll do it. But the gingerbread houses have to be built. So you start to see those gingerbread houses start to be built toward the end of the Halloween sailings in the corner. But the tree will go up, but there's usually one sailing in between.
Oh, okay.
With no theme. There'll be that one sailing where they can put up the decorations. And it takes time to decorate the ship.
So
you have those two sailings. And on those sailings, the kids can, there's a Halloween night where even the adults can dress up just like the parks, and they do a party on the deck, a little costume thing for the kids, and the kids can trick or treat. Same thing. For the holiday theming, Santa Claus is there. It snows on Castaway Key. It's magical. It's winter on the ship. It's gorgeously decorated. And if you happen to do a New Year's sailing, the fireworks are even more amazing, and they do the countdown from New York City right on the funnel vision.
Oh my goodness.
And the waiters dress in their tuxedos, and it's
Do people New dress Year's up? Eve.
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
You will see people in gowns and tuxedos. They go to the nines for those sailings. And so those are very themed beautifully. And then
my eyes are twinkling.
I know, right? it's magic at sea. I happen to have been on all of those. Perfection. The special days at sea, the theme days. So Marvel will happen on the Dream now that she is doing Fort Lauderdale sailings in January, February, into the beginning of March, I think. So you'll have a Marvel day at sea. Tons of fun if you're a Marvel fan. All your favorite Marvel characters, a special deck party. You get two nights of fireworks because you have the pirate party and a Marvel deck party. Ugh, how could you go wrong? And all your favorite characters are there for greets and meets and greets. And it's not like the parks where they're guarded.
Yeah.
The characters are walking around the ships. They dance with you in the atrium.
I was just going to say that must lead to so many amazing interactions that like you'd never have otherwise.
You don't ever know who's going to ride the elevator with you. I mean, you just don't know who's going to come up. I was looking at pictures on the kiosk and Minnie Mouse was behind me going... I just don't know. They're total interactions. Yeah. So when the Marvel characters are doing it, and here comes Groot, and, you're like, it's cool.
That's really cool.
I might love Thor a little too much. But. And then I was a big Star Wars Day at Sea fan, but they did replace it with Pixar. Not disappointed. So they do Pixar Day at Sea now. That's on the Fantasy, same time period, January through beginning of March. And that'll be on 7-night voyages, only on the Fantasy. And that will be the same thing. So you'll have a pirate night and a Pixar night, both with fireworks. And all of your favorite Pixar characters are there. And there's a Pixar dinner menu. And they theme it perfectly. And the ship's decorated for it. And
nice. Those all sound amazing. So the hard part is picking which.
Right.
Basically.
So you do one year and another the other.
Yeah, there you go. You get your placeholder.
Placeholders.
Placeholder.
There you go.
That's your answer.
I just feel like the best way to go about it, especially because of the characters, is just
to carry, in your little fanny pack, so a box of tissues, because I don't know about you guys, but I get all the feels with something like that.
You have to definitely take them to the Broadway style shows. You need tissues. There's shows I can't go see anymore because my kids, I would cry with them there thinking about, I won't ruin any endings, those times that would come. And then they were sailing with me when those things were happening. And now they happened. So I can't go to some certain shows because I'm like,
emotional turmoil.
That was horrible. It's Disney at its best. So,
speaking of kids, now this is actually, I know that we could talk about this all night, but there are a couple things that have popped into my head that I want to cover real quick for our listeners. And one is the kids clubs, because we were talking before about, what sets the Disney Cruise Line apart. And I feel like in addition to the service, one thing I talk a lot about is the kids clubs and the fact that families can go on these cruises, but adults can actually get some time to themselves with peace of mind because of the kids clubs.
Absolutely. So there's some things that you have to understand about these kids clubs. Even if you have a choice when they reach a certain age, you could tell the kids club that they can sign themselves out. And we're talking about the Oceaneers Club and Lab, like not the teen clubs. Obviously, they're going to sign themselves out. But between the ages of 3 and 12, I had to think about that for a second, 3 and 12, Oceaneers Club. So obviously 10 to 12, mom and dad could say they can sign themselves out.
Okay.
But they don't have to. They can still say no. Absolutely not. They can't leave unless we come pick them up. Mm. It doesn't matter that you've dropped them off for the past 3 days. There's a code word that you register them with, and they'll ask for that code word every single time. They will not let your child out. Even if they know, they knew I was Aunt Laura.
Yeah.
I picked up my niece 100 times.
Yeah.
But they'd say, I need your code word. Mm. So they are perfectly safe in that zone, and characters come play with them.
Oh.
I don't think they've brought back meals yet in there post COVID. They do not let you bring in snacks, and don't get upset about that. That's a food allergy concern.
Mm, of course.
They don't want you bringing in like something with peanuts and have Mr. Smith's child with a terrible peanut allergy. So they're not going to let you bring snacks in. But those Clients Clubs are open till midnight. So you can absolutely adult time in the wonderful adult only areas. It's perfect. Yeah. So yes, drop your kids off without worrying. Nobody can take them out.
Right.
They're not going anywhere. And for those of you who don't realize this, if there's a port adventure that you want to do, say in Cozumel, an adult only rum tasting in Jamaica, mm-hmm. you can leave your kids on the ship in the kids club and go do that.
The fact that that's built in is a game changer, I feel like, you know, because if you go to the parks, listen, you're going to go to the park, you're going to be in the room with your kid, or, you know, yes, you could hire a babysitter, you could hire a service, but it's a totally external thing. It's an extra cost, you know, it's a whole thing. But with these kids clubs, I mean, that's just, that freedom is just built right in. I mean, that's amazing. And the kids don't want to leave anyway, because those clubs are so incredible.
They usually like kick and scream because they don't want to leave with you. So they're like, no. And you always tell them, well, after dinner, you can go back. And then the adults go and they go see adult entertainment at night. Like they go do the silent dance parties, which I just watch because it's hilarious.
That must be hilarious.
It's hilarious.
But now, the nursery, though, under three, that is an extra charge, correct?
$9 an hour.
Okay. That's a bargain. Uh-huh. You can't get a babysitter for that.
I don't think. My kids are adults. So I was raising kids in the 90s. I don't think I ever paid $9 an hour for a babysitter. Yeah. So honestly, use it. Utilize those clubs. Yeah. And if you have teenagers, don't expect to see them.
Well, you ladies bring up
until 2.
Yeah.
Wow. That's great. Well, I was just going to say, like, you ladies bring up a really great point that, you know, people always associate Disney as like a kid thing, right? DCL, a kid's cruise. It's really not. There's so much accommodation for everyone. You know, we just talked about the kids club. They have the teens club as well. You could, you know, safely and comfortably leave your kids in good hands with the cast members there. Mm-hmm. But then there's also, you know, stuff for the parents beyond the silent dance parties as well.
There's tastings. There's so many things that you could do. You could do the bar crawls. I know a lot of people do that. But what you won't find on DCL are a lot of overly intoxicated people.
Right. Yeah. And there's no casinos.
I'll leave it at that. And there's no casinos. Yeah. It is family. So they didn't put in casinos, but they do have bingo. If you're still a, you know, gambler who likes bingo. And there's some pretty nice cash prizes. So
nice.
And what about the spas? Because there's spa for adults, and then there's also an adult-only pool. Is that correct?
Yes. So you have Quiet Cove, and that's 18 and older, and they do enforce that. So if they see you, and that's important to know, and nobody cares if your child is 13 and well-behaved.
Mm, right. Yeah, they can't make exceptions.
Yeah. 16 well-behaved is still not 18. Yeah. And their key, and a lot of people don't realize that their key to the world card actually has a code. So it will say adult for anybody above.
Mm.
It'll say minor for anybody below.
Okay.
So if a child is visiting the parent at Quiet Cove, you'll see the eyes, not from just the guests, but the crew members who are cleaning the pool constantly, because that's what they do, like constant splash of water and they're squeegeeing it. They watch it and they give it about a minute. Because sometimes, you know, a kid comes, they need something. They're told, you got to leave. Because people try it. They sit the kid down. The kid's eating ice cream. Yeah. 80% of the ship.
Yeah. Is for right. them.
So, you know, so that is a nice quiet area. The bars are all adult only after 9 p.m. And the spa, which happens to always be on the front end of the ship, has massages and you could get your hair done, mani, pedi, facials. Men can get shaves and fabulous services.
Nice. Yeah. There's
something for everyone.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Something for everyone. So I said I had two things. The other thing I'm just that's floating around in my head real quick is the rooms, the staterooms, the different kinds mm-hmm. of staterooms. So they're on every ship. You've got inside staterooms, ocean view, veranda, and concierge. Now, and also yes. within veranda, you've got veranda and then family that are like a little bigger. But it's basically you're on the interior of the ship, or you can look out at the ocean with the ocean.
Right.
Exactly what it sounds like. And then yep. veranda, you can actually go outside. And then there's concierge, which is like a whole other thing. Do you want to comment on just the, you know, the staterooms and the accommodation?
Sure. Sure. So most of these, they all will hold two people. Some of these staterooms only hold up to three.
Hmm.
Some hold four. And those family ones you were just talking about hold up to five.
Yeah.
And those are, none of the inside staterooms will hold up to five. So those are going to hold 3 to 4, depending on what category you're in. They will be on decks 2, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, depending on what ship you're on.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be smaller. Some will be standard, meaning, and in Disney speak, if you're looking at something that's standard inside room, that's only going to have one bathroom.
Okay.
If you see something that says deluxe, that's telling you it's two. So that's not a size thing. Deluxe just means you're getting two bathrooms. So there's only one type of stateroom that's standard on the ship, and that's one of the inside staterooms. Mm. All the others are called deluxe. So once you get to deluxe interior, they're slightly bigger, but the main thing is that it has two bathrooms. Mm. Ocean view. You could be midship on deck two, but if you look at a Disney ship, the portholes are either going to be forward or aft. So if you're somebody who gets seasick, you're going to want midship.
Mm-hmm.
So deck two, if you don't want a veranda. And again, if you're looking at the Disney ship, all the verandas are the one in the middle of the ship.
Yeah.
Some will be further forward, some will be further aft, but a bulk of them are midship. So those are going to be larger. Those are going to have your outdoor access. They're going to be more midship. You could go from decks 5 all the way up to 10 on Dream, Fantasy, and Wish. On Magic Wonder, you can only go up to 8 because the pool deck is on 9. So those are generally just the differences in room type. It's a matter of size and if it sleeps 5.
Mm-hmm.
Concierge, that's my heart as well. Once you go concierge, it's really hard to go back. I mean, that's just a whole different level of pampering. You have your own lounge. That's the only place you're going to have free alcohol from 5 to 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Open bar for them in their lounge. They have food that comes from Palo as snacks throughout the day. Their rooms are a little more plush. They might have a little more space. That's where the one bedroom lives, the Royal Suite lives, the Waltz Suite. On the Wish, you have the big tower suite that will sleep 8.
That thing's wild.
It's wild. So those might sleep 6 or more, but it really depends on which one you're picking. There are a couple 2-bedroom suites that will do that. So those are the inclusions. You also get to board first. You get your first pick of activities. You're really pampered.
Right. So even if it's your first sailing, so, you know, and you're not able to do things earlier because it's your first sailing, if you book concierge, yes, you can.
First. Yeah. That
outweighs the fact that you haven't sailed before. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. So you're boarding first, you're making your activities at 130 days out. You do have to be paid in full for that. But yes, and you have a concierge department working for you.
Yeah.
You have a concierge, a couple hosts on board who will get you those spa treatments if you didn't make them.
Yeah.
They act as your guest services. You don't have to go to guest services. It's like a whole nother level of pamper me.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
You get slippers in your room.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. Well, that was a very, very interesting overview. I definitely love hearing you speak about them, especially because you're very knowledgeable, but at the same time, too, you're passionate about this. So it just makes it more enthralling to listen to you. So Kara, did you have any other questions that were roaming through your head?
Yes, I have a million questions, but I can't answer them now because we're almost at an hour. So I'm like, I better stop. Okay, I'm going to ask you one quick little thing, and maybe you can answer it real quick. People, sure. You know, especially coming from the parks or just any kind of Disney thing, you know, there tends to be like, oh my gosh, we got to book this. We got to do this. We got to excursions on a cruise. I've also heard that if you booked nothing, if you booked no excursions, no extra, any activities, you'll still have a fabulous time. Do you think that's correct?
100%.
Okay.
You are correct. There is no reason to overplan a cruise.
Yeah.
This is a ship that has so much to do that you wouldn't have to get off the ship.
Mm.
It's a movie theater. There is no reason that you need to overplan a cruise.
Yeah.
So the relaxing can
start from the planning phase where you just don't even have to do anything.
I mean, honestly, I think that the stress to overbook anything on these cruises and the disappointment if they don't get into the tasting that they want, it's
not necessary.
Go to the bar and order 5 different rum drinks. There's your tasting.
Tranquilo, papi, tranquilo.
Right. You want to taste tequila? Tell the bartender you want to taste tequila. And every night he will make sure you taste a different tequila drink. There is no reason to stress.
Okay.
And but the other thing to know is that they don't put out every reservation for booking.
Mm.
So for those wanting Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique and they don't see reservations left on the app, once they board, go to Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. They might get in.
Yeah.
There's openings. They don't.
Yes. Right. They hold some back for everything. So if you have something that you want that you didn't get as soon as you get on the ship, go to either guest services or, like you said, Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique or wherever and say,
just go ask.
Yeah.
Go to Port Adventure Desk, you know, and say, did somebody cancel this? Mm-hmm. Can I get into the Royal Gathering?
Yeah.
Can somebody get me into the Royal Court Tea?
Yeah.
You'll get in.
Excellent. That's very good to know. Okay.
Again, with the accommodations, Disney with their accommodations, they're really on top of their game with that.
Yeah.
Okay. So quick question that I have. Again, I'm with you, Kara. I wish I could just ask you questions all day. but for the sake of time, I guess I kind of want to round it up with, so there's 5 ships currently in the fleet. Do you want to just briefly mention some of the places where they their port at, some of the places where they travel to, that kind of area?
Absolutely. Well, for now, at the moment, the Dream is in Europe, and she has taken over for the Magic, which is magical. It's a bigger ship carrying more people and going to ports in Europe, doing Greek Isle, Northern Europe. They're gorgeous ports. You have the Wonder currently in Alaska, but it's almost the end of Alaska season, which means she's going to make her very first inaugural sailing to Australia.
Oh, That is exciting.
And that's Disney's first time to Australia. Wow. And she is going back in 2024. Those are bookable now, actually. So the Wonder does technically always do the West Coast, Alaska, and now on to Australia. The Fantasy does 7-night Eastern Caribbean, Western Caribbean cruises, and added Bermuda to that. 8-night Bermuda, and actually added a 10-night Southern Caribbean. And the Wish does 3- and 4-night Bahamian. Mm-hmm. And the Dream will come back and go out of Fort Lauderdale in 2024. That no more Miami. Mm. The new home port is Port Everglades, where the Magic is currently finishing out in Miami. And that's where it stands at the moment.
Nice.
Where the treasure lands is anybody's guess. If you ask me, she's going to take over for the Fantasy.
Mm. So that's probably what's going to happen. I would that, put my money my on it.
It's my the guess. The Laura Guru. It is my guess that she's doing the Fantasy routes, and the Fantasy will be able to maybe take over. This is just speculation. In New York for the summer. Yes.
Let's
because
do that.
It's missing.
Yes.
It's missing in fall of 2024.
Yes. Wait, yeah.
I'm just
I
saying.
I did not go unnoticed by this.
New York is missing.
Yeah. Tell me about it. The New York port is about 10 miles from me. So when fall 2024 came out with no New York sailings, I was like, excuse me, what's happening here? So yeah.
I was looking for every hole. And the other reason, my theory on the Fantasy is that the whole, where New York, the Fantasy's sailing with the Wish Bahamian sailings.
Okay.
Something we will have to see.
But if that ends up happening, you heard it here first.
That's just my
and we don't we'll go ahead and you know do some legal whatever. We do not speak for Disney.
We are not this is just liar. This is just
guess that
yes please guys this is Laura just looking at holes.
This is speculating yes
based on when the Fantasy came out and took over for Wonder. So just saying.
Well, we've got a lot of things to look forward to between a new island, potential new itineraries and ports.
Don't forget about Global Dream, which is that big Dragunda ship Disney bought to put in Asia.
Oh, geez, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a whole other...
That's a whole nother thing.
That's a whole other thing. Yeah.
A whole other episode.
Oh, yeah.
That's another one to look forward to.
Repainted and reconfigured, too. Yeah. So.
And that ship is massive from what I've seen too. Like
it's supposed to hold 9,000, but Disney's never going to do that.
Woo.
So they're reconfiguring. So
what's the average amount of guests per ships currently that Disney has? Do you know?
They're at capacity, so we're looking at 38 to 4,000 on the three bigger ones, and the classic ships are at 2,500.
Imagine so double, triple those.
Wow.
Incredible.
Yeah, but they're never going to sail with 9,000 people. They,
right.
I'm going to guess they're bringing it down to 4,000.
They'll make it all
space because not every, they need a big childcare space.
Yeah.
They have they're known for their big kids clubs. So they're going to be ripping out.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. It's not going to be all
these
rooms.
They love the big atriums.
Yeah.
They love stay tuned. It's not going to sail with 9,000.
So
million people on.
Well, Laura, this was
to.
Absolutely incredible, fun, and informative. And I'm sure anybody listening now is wondering where they can find you on out there on the internet. Where can they find you? Your Facebook page.
You can find me on my Facebook page, which is Facebook / FTJ by Laura. Instagram is at FTJ by Laura. And those are my two social medias.
Nice.
I'm working on TikTok. I have a TikTok, but I don't know how to use it. Kara's the TikTok girl.
Another frontier.
She is. She is. Kara, what about you? Where can everyone find you?
I am Fairy Tale Journeys by Kara on Facebook, Kara with a K. Also on Instagram, Fairy Tale Journeys by Kara. And on TikTok, I am Diz_Kara.
And for me, you can find me on Facebook at Fairy Tale Journeys by Stephanie Perrette Gentile and on Instagram at FTJ by Stephanie PG. And of course, you'll find all of our information in the show notes, including Laura's. So Laura, you'll definitely have to give us those so we can share it. And you can also follow the Mouse Ears podcast on our Facebook group and the Mouse Ears blog on Instagram for all the latest news and episode details. And if you like what you heard today, definitely give us a thumbs up on any of our streaming platforms, Spotify, Google, or Apple Podcasts. And as well, if you want to book your next trip, wherever it may be, hopefully Disney, hopefully DCL, reach out to fairytalejourneystravel.com or send any of us a DM and we'd be more than happy to help you on your way to your next dream vacation. So ladies, any last minute words to the audience?
Nothing. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, just thanks for Laura coming. So much.
Absolutely.
My pleasure.
Mm-hmm. All right, everyone. Well, we hope to have you here again real soon. And until the next episode, have a great night, everyone.
Bye.
Good night.